worship on the 20th. You'll notice you do have an insert in your bulletin for our final hymn. And there's a piece of missing. The part of the hymn is missing, but the words are all there on the screen. Is there any information that's not in your bulletin that you'd like to share with one another? If not, then let us share God's peace. Peace within us, peace over us, let all around us be at peace. I want to invite you to stand and let's sing together our opening hymn, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in Christ's blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, my visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. In my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with God's goodness, lost in Christ's love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let us join in our invitation to worship. Blessed are those who trust in God. Blessed are those who hope in God. Blessed are those who delight in God's word. Let us join in our morning prayer. God of blessings and woes, bless us this day so our lives will be filled with love, care, generosity, and deep abiding hope. We pray that your kingdom will dwell among all people, and we may be instruments of your love and your grace. Open our hearts to the joy of healing a world filled with brokenness and pain. In the name of the one who taught us to follow your ways of light and love, be present with us as we worship and go forth to live abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Our gospel lesson today is from Luke, Coming down off the mountain with them, he stood on a plain surrounded by disciples and was soon joined by a huge congregation from all over Judea and Jerusalem, even from the seaside towns of Tyre and Sidon. They had come both to hear him and to be cured of their diseases. Those disturbed by evil spirits were healed. Everyone was trying to touch him. So much energy surging from him. So many people healed. Then he spoke. You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you're ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when the trees flow freely. Joy comes in the morning. Count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out. Every time someone swears, smears, or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and that that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb if you like. For even though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this.
Amen. May that reading and your hearing be blessed. It is indeed God's holy word. Paul and I recently have watched season 2 of The Chosen, which is on Amazon Prime. And since, you know, I'm a person fascinated by biblical stories, I just held on to every word. In the very last episode of season 2, it ends with thousands of people gathering to hear Jesus preach. Now, he's been preparing what we often call the Sermon on the Mount throughout that entire episode. Matthew has been Jesus' scribe as he put his ideas together. The part that grabbed my attention the most was when Jesus said to Matthew, "If people want to find me, they can look for those who are blessed, and I will be with them." And then, of course, he lists the people who are blessed by God's presence and power. Beginning with, when we are poor, we are blessed. Just a moment, let's consider images of who we label as poor. People who are absolutely destitute, without any earthly resources or prestige or influence or power in the society. They're helpless, downtrodden, they're often oppressed by others, yet Jesus is with them. Jesus knows how life goes for them. If Jesus says they're blessed, I want to be with them. Now, Jesus could have said, "Blessed are those who know they're completely helpless and can only rely on God. Those who are completely detached from things because they know that things won't bring them security or are the deep joy for which they long. When we're attached only to God and know that only God can bring the strength and help and hope that we all desire and need. The kingdom of heaven, you know, it's a society where God's will is done as perfectly on earth as it is done in heaven. Yet we can only do God's will when we know how helpless we are and we realize we are incapable of coping with life in our own human strength and power. Jesus says, notice the blessedness of folks who know they're completely dependent on God. They've learned the ways of God's kingdom and how to function in it. So the question is, how could we at Trinity welcome and affirm and include those who are considered poor? What could they teach us? And how could we join in their blessedness? Because when we do, Jesus will be with us and will bless our understanding of dependence upon God. When we're hungry, we can know we're blessed And God will satisfy us, you know. But that hunger that Jesus talks about here is really not what we experience about 11:30 a.m. on a Sunday. No, he's talking about the hunger of one starving to death. You know, and most of us have never had to endure that kind of experience when, you know, every fiber of our being or our body needs nourishment. It needs nourishment so much that we just simply can't maintain life without receiving it. Those who know Jesus is with them, Jesus knows how life goes for them, and if Jesus says they're blessed, I want to be with them. But maybe he's actually talking about the blessedness of spiritual hunger, of those who yearn for justice and want to be part of a more just society with real equality, those who seek to model and incorporate decency and honesty and morality. Their collective yearnings can be empowered by God's Spirit and influence what we become, who we become, the future that we leave for our children and our children's children. Sometimes I wonder if the modern church has settled for only partial goodness, or, you know, some degree of morality, yet rather than striving to create a society that offers total goodness and equal justice for all people. I yearn to be in relationships with those who hunger for those principles so I can experience the loving energy and compassion that seems to radiate from them and go outward. So how could we welcome and affirm and include those who hunger for God? What could they teach us? How can we join them in their blessedness? Because when we do, Jesus will be with us and will bless our understanding of hungering for God's essence in our lives. Now, one helpful thing about Jesus' teaching here is that he doesn't say we have to achieve those teachings, but rather we are to hunger for them and desire them with our whole heart and mind and body and soul. It's as if Jesus says, see the blessedness of those who continually hunger for decency, honesty, and equal justice for all people. We'll find Jesus in their midst. You know, indeed, a current motto of the UCC denomination is a just world for all. So as a denomination, we dream of and we work for to create a world where all persons have equal value and worth on earth like they do in heaven. But what could Trinity do to mirror those values and desires? If Jesus is in our midst, how could we attract those with similar passions? How could we be more inclusive of those, you know, on the margins who long to be seen and treated with worth and purpose in God's kingdom? How would they know they're welcome, they're needed, they're wanted? What could they teach us about God's presence and power at work within us? When we weep, we know we're blessed. God's Spirit will bring us comfort. Those who mourn know that Jesus is with them. And Jesus knows how life goes for them. And if Jesus says they're blessed, I want to be there with them. You know, there's an awareness, an understanding, a knowledge that only sorrow can bring us. There is the sorrow of grieving the loss of a loved one, which, you know, leaves that empty ache in our soul and brings it, oh, those unrestrained tears to our eyes. It holds us in its grip for a long time. Yet it's through this grief that we experience God's presence in ways that we otherwise might not have. We learn about the love and the kindness and compassion of others, along with the overwhelming comfort, compassion, and love of God. You know, if I had never suffered the loss of my eldest daughter, I might never have come to know all that I know about how God sustains and reassures us when we are incapable of giving, when we're only able to receive. But how could we welcome and affirm and include those who seem to continually live with grief in their soul? What could they teach us about God's presence, God's love and compassion? How could we join with them in their blessedness? Because when we do, Jesus will be with us and bless our understanding of what it's like to weep with God. Of course, then there's the sorrow of grieving over pain that's experienced by others, even those that we don't know, and certainly of those that we love. As Christians, we're called to care deeply and intensely about the suffering in the world. We're called to grieve before God on behalf of those who cannot grieve for themselves. Now, many people here know the blessedness which flows from the gift of tears before God, weeping for those who cannot weep for themselves, for those who suffer needlessly without reason, and for those who are broken and hurt from, well, the sin of others. So how could we welcome and affirm and include those who seem to constantly grieve for the world, those whose hearts break because they are constantly carrying the pain of others? How can we provide comfort and spiritual shelter for those who weep? What could they teach us about God's presence and love and compassion? How could we join them in their blessedness? Because when we do, Jesus will be with us and will bless our understanding of what it's like to grieve over the world. Jesus says, if you want to find me, notice the blessedness of those who weep over the loss of loved ones and endure broken hearts over the needless suffering in the world. In God's presence, we can find comfort and restoration. Out of sorrow, we can gain that spiritual peace, that hope, and that joy, which can only be given by God. Who is it that prays and weeps for and with us during those times? You know, as a pastor, I'm constantly on the lookout for folks who respond empathetically to the suffering of others. But how could we welcome and affirm and include those who are constantly grieving over the world? What could they teach us? How could we join them in their blessedness? Because when we do, Jesus will bless our understanding of sorrow and brokenness. If we want to find Jesus, we can't be afraid to be hated and excluded, because that's when we know we're blessed, when we are reviled and persecuted and have all kinds of evil things spoken about us. Jesus tells us to be glad because he's in our midst. You know, when we live according to God's desire, Jesus assures us that others are going to find fault with us. They're going to make false accusation, cause problems, even seek to destroy us in every possible way. Sadly, sometimes this dynamic is even present in God's church. And instead of encouraging and sustaining one another, folks tend to complain or insinuate falsehoods or even cause difficulties and even seek to destroy the ministry of others. You know what I'm talking about. Yet when we withstand those false accusations and we work through the hurtful issues that others try to use to bring us harm, we know we're blessed. Jesus says, notice the blessedness of those who endure insult and ridicule, all kinds of persecution. They may even face death. Yet God has a special place for those people in God's kingdom. Who are the people who've taught us how to endure persecution for the sake of God's kingdom. I long to benefit from being in a relationship with those, with more of those wise folks. Yet how could we welcome and affirm and include those who've been scorned, discounted, ill-treated? What could they teach us about overcoming when others say things that are not truth? How could we join in their blessedness? Because when we do, Jesus will be with us, encouraging and empowering us to live in ways that express God's love and forgiveness toward those who seek to harm and destroy God's people, God's church. Certainly, being God's church and a member of a local church family has many blessings and benefits. It provides us with a sense of contentment and peace, love, joy that can't be taken away no matter what. And Jesus wants us to experience that peace and joy that can't be diminished or destroyed by anything. As those who seek to follow Jesus, we know we're blessed no matter what life brings us. We know because Jesus told us so. And all God's people said together, Amen. Our prayer hymn this morning is, I Need You Every Hour. Let's sing together verses 1, 3, and 4 of 517. What joys do you bring with you to worship today? Mark has a joy.
I know I don't have a mic. I'll try to speak very loud. But the friend who's been praying for Larry, he is doing a lot better. And the surgery went well. And his whole family, even his daughter from Texas was in, they were all together this weekend after the meal.
Excellent. Excellent. Thanks to you for letting us know, Mark, that our prayers had made a difference. Any other joys that you'd like to share?
I have a joy. Is my mic on?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, I'm so thankful for the Parish Life Committee. We once again did a dinner last Sunday, and I thought it went well. And I really want to especially thank Connie, because when I'm usher and reader, right away she's going to be my usher, and I sure appreciate it.
Yes, we did have a great Lincoln Land Association meeting last Sunday afternoon. I'm not sure how many congregations were represented, but we had about 30-something people. I don't know. But it was great to be part of Lincoln Land. Let me assure you that not all associations in the Indiana-Kentucky Conference are as warm-hearted and welcoming as I find Lincoln Land Association to be. My joy is that Paul and I got to experience a gospel concert on Friday evening over in Oakland City with the Isaacs. I was raised on gospel music, so anytime I have an opportunity to travel within 100 miles, I mean, it wasn't that far, to hear a good, a good name, the Isaacs, the Hoppers, the Tallies, all of those are high in the gospel world. So it was great to get to do that. Any other joys you'd like to share? Well, how about needs and concerns? Who are the people we need to remember and pray for and with this morning? How about the needs in the world? There were tornadoes over the weekend in several places in our country. There's nothing else we want to share with one another, then I invite you to take a deep breath. Breathe in an awareness of God's love for you, for all of us. Breathe in an attitude of thankfulness and blessedness. And a final deep breath to bind our hearts and our minds in one accord to go before God together as one people. Most giving and most loving God, as you, your people, as those who've gathered here to worship today, we do know your blessedness in our lives. We don't always stop to thank you, God, for things that we may take for granted every day. Running water that is warm or hot or cold. Ice that fills our cups. That is cold and refreshing. Warm beds in which to sleep. Warm clothing in which to cover ourselves. Gasoline for our cars, our family and our friends. Those who gather with us to worship all bring their blessings of friendship and love, of grace and forgiveness. In so many ways, we are a blessed people. We are blessed when we know the hunger that Jesus brought to the world to value and to affirm and to encourage all people regardless of their situation in life. Lord, teach us that blessedness of welcoming those who are poor, welcoming those who grieve, welcoming those who hunger for justice for all people. No matter how we express it, God, our hearts can be filled with the desire for your sense of justice, decency, morality, with love and care and compassion. Help us to exercise all of those things for your sake, oh God. As a church, we want to be able to make a difference in our world, in our community, in our congregation, in our friendships, our family relationships, and of course our relationship with you, Almighty God. Help us, God, to recognize that among us are those who've been ill-treated, who've been spoken about in ways that are dishonoring, in ways that are not truthful. Help us to extend comfort and assurance, forgiveness, acceptance, and the list goes on and on. Help us be the ones to welcome all people, regardless of what's gone before or what comes after these moments in their lives. God, we want to be ones. We want to be a people who can extend blessedness to others around us, those we know well, those we don't know at all. Help us to be your hands and your feet, your heart and your voice. There are so many needs in the world at this moment, God. There are those who are suffering the loss of homes, of loved ones, of jobs. There are those who are questioning your presence and your care. There are those who don't understand what's happening. We ask you to comfort each one, O God. God, we want to thank you for moments that bring us joy and hope. We thank you for hearing our prayers, especially for Larry. We thank you for letting us gather in a place with other congregation and peoples from other places. Those who brought us stories and those who encouraged us to keep caring about situations in our country, in our state, and in our communities. Oh, there's so many needs which you call us to attend. But we do keep our eyes and our ears open with gratitude and thankfulness for all that you seek to do within us, among us, through us. You are such a great and mighty and gracious God. We are blessed to be your people. As always, God, we're thankful for the privilege and the power of prayer and the promise that you not only hear our prayers, you've already begun to respond. Because we pray all things spoken aloud or uttered from our silent yet earnest hearts. Through the power of your Holy Spirit and the powerful, blessed name of Jesus, your Son and our Lord. For he is the one who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, being generous is a common theme throughout all Scripture. I mean, we can't read very far without seeing that God's generosity to the world and Jesus' generous gift of salvation to humanity. Clearly, Jesus' followers are to respond and with and in generosity toward others. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, it contains what we know as the law of the harvest. You know, it says, such as we reap, we what we sow. And if we sow corn, then we'll reap corn. If we sow kindness, we'll reap kindness, God's kindness. When we're generous with our resources, we'll and sow them into God's kingdom, then we'll reap more of God's blessings in our lives. So then we can continue to sow generosity. Now, maybe it doesn't mean that we're going to receive unexpected money in the mail, but it does mean that God will bless our generosity and take care of our needs. Philippians 4:19 says, reminds us, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of God's glory in Christ Jesus. When we're generous with the resources that God has entrusted to us, yes, God showers us with spiritual blessings, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Let's join together in our prayer to dedicate the offerings we've made today or will make later. Generous God, you pour out your abundance on us so we can alleviate the sufferings of others, turn their woes into blessings and their emptiness into overflowing grace and life. Take the gifts we offer now and use them in the work of your kingdom of new life and hope found in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the summer of 2018, I was deeply affected by a writing by Nadia Boltz Weber. She's a Lutheran pastor. She looks a little different in that she has tattoos on her body and often dresses in a way that might surprise us. But she calls this the new Beatitudes for a hurting world, and I want to share with you that she includes all the people that she's going to mention, that they're all welcome at God's table. Blessed are the agnostics. Blessed are those who doubt, those who aren't sure, those who can still be surprised. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are they for whom death is not an abstraction. Blessed are those who have buried loved ones, for whom tears could fill an ocean. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are they who don't have the luxury of taking things for granted anymore. Blessed are they who can't fall apart because, well, they have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who no one else notices, you know, the kids who sit alone at the middle school lunch tables, the laundry guys at the hospital, the sex workers, the night shift street sweepers. Blessed are the forgotten. Blessed are the closeted. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, and the underrepresented. Blessed are the wrongly accused, the ones who never catch a break, the ones for whom life is hard. For Jesus himself chose to surround people like them. Blessed are those who make terrible business decisions for the sake of others, other people. Blessed are the burned out social workers and overwhelmed teachers and pro bono case takers. Blessed are the kind-hearted NFL players and their fundraising trophy wives. And blessed are the kids who step between the bullies and the weak. Blessed is everyone who's forgiven me when I didn't deserve it. Blessed are the merciful, for they totally get it. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you, and Jesus welcomes you at this table. Indeed, it was on the night when Jesus was about to be betrayed himself. As he sat at the table with his disciples, he took bread, and after asking God to bless it, he broke it. He passed it to his disciples and said to them, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. It will be broken and bruised for you." And in like manner, after the supper, he took the cup. After asking God to bless this cup, he passed it around the table and said to his disciples, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is the cup of a new covenant that I make with you. It's a covenant in which my blood is poured out. Your sins are forgiven, and you are empowered to forgive the sins of others. Do these things, and always remember me." Let us pray God's blessings on these elements. Generous God, we may never quite understand the love that you carry for each of us. And no matter what, how you welcome us from wherever we come, from whatever we've done, you welcome us. You include us at this table where we can receive the goodness of bread, the goodness of grace, the goodness of hope. We can taste your word. We can come to this table knowing we are included in your covenant, the covenant that assures us because Jesus' blood was shed, we are forgiven people. We can extend forgiveness to all around us. So God, we thank you for these elements and their blessing they bring to us and to others. Use them today to empower and encourage us to be all we can be for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you find your bread, let us share it together. If you have your cup, let us share this holy liquid together. In your bulletin is an insert, however the words are on the screen. One of many of our favorite hymns, "Let's Stand and Sing Together, Count Your Blessings."
Upon life's billows you are tempted and tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. and see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Any blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Hope and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Let us join together in our blessing and benediction. Let us go forth, grounded in God's love. Let us go forth, blessed with Jesus' hope. Let us go forth, blessed with the Spirit's delight. Amen.